The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes show.
I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me. So I am telling you, don't be fooled.
The real Eric's in jail.
And welcome.
Hey, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas show. I just happen to be Eric Metaxas, and it's named the Eric Metaxas show. That part was intentional. I'm here with my co-hosts, Chris Himes, who's driving an Uber. Chris, are you driving an Uber?
Yeah, I'm doing Uber and Lyft. I do both.
So. I mean, we got to get to where we could pay you more, but our sponsors are just not helping out. Albin, I'm just glad that you have a working wife. You don't need to drive an Uber to make ends meet. Let me just tell you, we've got an exciting guest coming up, Jenna Ellis. Some of you have heard of her. Jenna Ellis is she's gotten to be a very big deal suddenly. You know, we had her on the show for a couple of years and she was just a friend. And then suddenly she gets a phone call from the president of the United States. I won't tell you what president, but it starts with the letter Trump. And he made her his counsel, you know, like legal counsel. So she's legal counsel to the president. She's in her early 30s and she is also the lawyer for John MacArthur fighting the religious liberty battle over there in California. So she's coming up for the rest of the hour to talk about last night's forums, competing forums.
Hold a second. I'm getting a call from the president. Wow.
But yeah. I mean, the president of the United States. See, that's never happened to me. And I just want to say I'm very impressed. If you get a call from the president, let me know. Jenna Ellis, though, she's close to the president. And so I'm actually, in all seriousness, I'm very curious of what she's thinking about what's going on right now. The thing that just happened with Hunter Biden seemingly genuinely cashing in on his father's position as vice president with China. This is huge, huge, huge news. So we're going to get to that with her in a couple of minutes. But a couple of announcements before we get to that. We have to mention, I don't know how to say this, Mike Lindell, who was here just a minute ago. I remember what he looked like. Oh, yeah, he looks just there like this guy. Mike Lindell has a new website up. He's going to be competing with Amazon. Not a joke. It's called MyStore.com. It has just launched, MyStore.com. Now, you know, we're always telling you to go to MyPillow.com. Because everything you order there with the code Eric, and you can tell your friends, I don't care if they listen to the program, just tell them to use Eric, they'll get the discount. But honestly, Mike Lindell has done this typically Mike Lindellian thing. I'm the first person to ever use that adjective, Mike Lindellian. He's done a Mike Lindellian thing. He's launched this thing called MyStore.com, and it's just going to be everything for sale. And right at the top of the page, MyStore.com, he has my three Donald the Caveman books, Donald Drains the Swamp, Donald Builds the Wall, and the new one, Donald and the Fake News, available as a package. The three of them, are you ready? $33. Now, what? Each book is like $18 or he sells it for $15. So you can get the books there for $15. I think Amazon is delaying, like you have to wait till literally December to get Donald Builds the Wall and stuff. So I said, does Mike have them? They have them in stock now. So you can get the books for $15, but all three for $33. Folks, I think I'm losing money on that. I can tell you I'm not making any money on it. I mean, I'm not kidding.
I ordered them and they each one came with a dollar inside.
See what I'm saying? That's supposed to come to me and it comes to you who buy the books. But seriously, MyStore.com is kind of big news. Just the fact that Mike Lindell is doing this thing. I'm excited for him. We can talk about that with him another time. But Suzanne is, by the way, reading his autobiography right now.
Yeah.
You can't make it up. You can't believe what the man has been through. If you don't see God's hand on this guy's life, that's another story. But the point was that all three of my Donald books are available as a package for $33. That's insane. That's $11 a book. I think I pay $12 a book if I want them. So I'm just telling you, go to mystore.com and get it. It will run out. And when the president wins re-election, the prices will double. That's just the way it goes in politics and retail sales. So I just want to tell you, go to mystore.com. Now, we have a number of other things that I want to mention before Jenna Ellis comes on, because I know she's waiting in the wings here. So let me say really quickly, if you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, many of my books are available there. I'm bringing this up now specifically because I mentioned yesterday that our dear friend Tom Howard had passed away. His book, Chance or the Dance, is available at SocratesInTheCity.com. I would go there because we usually give you the best price. But if you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, you can get Chance of the Dance and you can watch my interview with Tom Howard. It was a two-part interview. I think it's literally the last interview he did. It was about 2 years ago. And it's about the book. And it was just an honor for me to be in his home, which also brings up the fact that we are, everything I'm talking about now, we post on our newsletter that goes out every week. It's going to go out today. If you subscribe in time, go to ericmetaxas.com. You'll get the newsletter and you won't need to remember anything I say on this program ever, because it'll be right there teed up for you once a week in the newsletter. But also SocratesInTheCity.com, my new Bonhoeffer book. Are you ready? My new Bonhoeffer book. Look at that handsome book. Wow. The new Bonhoeffer book is, it's got a new design and it has a 7,500 word essay, which is a new introduction.
And I understand you designed the cover too. Is that right?
Seriously? Sort of. Yeah. I mean, I get very heavy handed with my publishers because I feel that, you know, it makes a difference. People judge a book by its cover, to coin a phrase. So, but anyway, the reason I say that is that this book, I think it's like $35 on Amazon. If you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, it is $25. That's, I think, a little better. And you can get signed copies for like $30. So wow. I'm just telling you, go to SocratesInTheCity.com for Chance of the Dance or the Bonhoeffer book. I've got to mention all these things. Now, before I mention ADF, I also want to mention that we got a letter from our friend Donna Rice Hughes. Donna Rice Hughes, she's been on this program many times. And she said, and I wanted to share this, there's a 40-day global call to repentance. You can go to jointhefast.org, jointhefast.org. A lot of people are praying and fasting for this election. I think that if you've listened to this program, you know that this is a very, very consequential election. It is probably the most consequential election since Lincoln was on the ticket. Now, I hate that. I wish it weren't so consequential, but it is. And I've maintained that even if you hate Trump's guts, if you don't vote for him, I don't want to even say it. You're going to see what happens, and it's not good. It's not good for anybody. That's kind of the key. So, all right. Jointhefast.org. After Jenna, I think at the end of this program, we'll mention some of these things again. And also, Kirk Cameron is coming up in hour two. Kirk Cameron, that's important. We'll talk about that at the end of the program today, the end of hour one. We'll kind of tee that up. But let me just say, Alliance Defending Freedom, we need your help. Folks, this is a tough time because I guess everybody's probably giving to political campaigns. But if you go to MetaxasTalk.com and give to the Alliance Defending Freedom, no matter what you give, we'll enter you in a grand prize drawing. So some people say, oh, I can give $10 or $20 or $30. But whatever you give, you're entered in the grand prize drawing. You'll win so much, you'll be embarrassed. It's happened to some of our winners in the past, so I want to mention that. I also want to say again, I know there are folks out there who want to defend religious liberty. They have a lot of money. If you give $10,000 to ADF, if you go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com, and click on the ADF banner, and you can give $10,000, we want to thank you by giving you a raft of signed books, a visit to the studio, and then, most important, an evening with your host, Eric Metaxas. We get to have dinner together wherever you are, wherever I am. We'll work it out. But we've done this before, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me to thank you personally, spend an evening together, get to know each other. Some people do that as an anniversary gift or some kooky thing. whatever reason, it's my joy to, you know, personally thank you and spend an evening with you. If somebody out there is willing to do that, it's tax deductible. And I cannot think of a better organization than the Alliance Defending Freedom. Doing what they do is just outrageously important. So thank you. We'll be back with Jenna Ellis. Hey there, folks. Promises made, promises kept. In a Metaxas administration, not only will I reference the promises I've made, I will keep those promises. Remember, I promised that we have Kirk Cameron in hour two. Well, that hasn't happened yet, but I did say that we would have Jenna Ellis in our next segment. This is that segment, and this is Jenna Ellis. Jenna, welcome.
Glad you are keeping your promises, Eric.
Let me tell you, I take this very seriously. By the way, behind you, if people are watching this, they can see a Trump Pence sign, Keep America Great. Are you being public that you that you're supporting the president? I know that in your position as, you know, you're on the Trump campaign officially, you are your special counsel to the president in that position. I don't know if you're allowed to say for whom you're voting.
Yeah, you know, we try to keep it under wraps, but I am going to declare here and break some news on this program that yes, Eric, I am 100% in. I have decided to cast my vote for President Trump.
See, this is what I love about this program. We make news even when we're not making news. That's why people tune in. Well, look, we have to get serious. Last night, Jenna, like literally last night, so much happened. I don't know where to start. Okay, first of all, there was a town hall that Joe Biden scheduled with ABC in order to, since the debate was canceled, he decided that he would do a town hall with George Stephanopoulos. Trump, genius that he is, said, oh, okay, and maybe I'll do a town hall with NBC. NBC always willing to get ratings and beat their opponents. ABC decided to do it. So there were dueling town halls last night, in addition to Tucker Carlson being on at the 8 o'clock hour talking about the Hunter Biden scandal, which we're going to get to. And it's so huge that we'll talk about that, but it's really huge. But I guess I want to first ask you about last night. It was a kind of a madness. I mean, to have the president debating Savannah Guthrie effectively, and then having Stephanopoulos toss what anyone would have to say were softballs at Joe Biden.
Yeah, so this was actually really interesting to mirror the first debate where you had Chris Wallace, who was supposed to play the role of the moderator, really debating President Trump. And Joe Biden was just there going, come on, man, and throwing some lines in, you know, occasionally. That was kind of what you had just on split screen. So President Trump was debating Savannah Guthrie. And then Joe Biden was just sitting there as if he's having tea with George Stephanopoulos, really not saying much and not doing anything. And then, of course, the mainstream media comes out and is saying, you know, look at how aggressive President Trump is. You know, do you really want four more years of this absolute exhaustion? And they're trying to paint him as someone who is just this, you know, overtly aggressive ogre, instead of framing this properly, saying it's the mainstream media that has been on the attack for 4 years. And in spite of that, President Trump has actually gotten so much done over the last 4 years, but they won't allow him to actually focus on his accomplishments because they know that if the American people actually hear from him like they do at rallies, which is why the rallies are so effective, if the NBC audience and the ABC audience, you know, anyone who tuned in, if those people who generally aren't the Fox News audience, right, aren't the conservatives, if they actually pay attention to this and hear from President Trump and see who he genuinely is, that's going to go very badly for the mainstream media because they're all in for Joe Biden. They are just an arm of the Democrat Party at this point. And you saw that so clearly in the town hall formats yesterday.
Well, to me, you know, I just thought, first of all, it's kind of funny that when you're, if you watch TV last night, it was just, chaotic because you're thinking, I want to see what Trump's going to do, but I also want to see the Biden thing, but I also wanted to see Tucker and go to bed before 11 o'clock when it re-airs, right? So I thought to myself, these three things are kind of important. And so I'm going back and forth between them. And it was stunning to me how Savannah Guthrie was like visibly agitated and aggressive. Like she was really frustrated from right out of the gate. Like she just, you could tell that she was, that she has an animus, since we're talking about the Amy Coney Barrett hearings in a minute. But it was so obvious that she doesn't like Trump or she disagrees with him. And so she came after him out of the gate and forces him, in a sense, to be combative and to defend himself. And then you flick over, like you said, to Stephanopoulos. And it was, like you said, like they're having tea. I thought, wow, imagine if Stephanopoulos had pushed him on the China Hunter Biden stuff. This is a monumental scandal. And they literally didn't even mention it. I mean, actually, that's the scandal, that the journalists have ceased to care about truth or objectivity or even the state of America. You know, even if you like Biden, it's kind of an important issue.
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, I don't know if maybe George Stephanopoulos was worried that, you know, China would cut off their feed to the program if he mentioned them and Biden in the same sentence, you know, but then the scandal, of course, as well, is not only is the mainstream media not doing their job, they're not journalists anymore, they're activists. And we have to keep that in mind when we're all curating content and when we're reading some of these pieces. I mean, I read some of the mainstream media from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and just think this is so blatantly partisan. It's not journalism anymore. They're just stories. I mean, they don't have breaking news like we were talking about. They have breaking opinion. That's all that it is. It's all slanted. And you could see that from the questions and the fact that they were totally silent. George Stephanopoulos refused to push Joe Biden on the issues when he is running allegedly for president. I mean, we know that it's actually Kamala Harris that's running for president. Biden even said that he's running for Senate, but they refused to push him. And not only that, Facebook and Twitter are then taking down stories from the New York Post and saying that we can't retweet this, as the American public, who are actually looking at content and a major national news organization, is being censored from what's supposed to be an online platform of public discourse that has shielded themselves with protection, saying, hey, we're not a publisher, we're not the arbiter of truth. But guess what? They are the judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to your speech and when it comes to your opinions that they disagree with. And that should scare every American to see that Facebook and Twitter is willing to so obviously censor a story that is bad for the presidential candidate that they support less than 3 weeks before the election.
I think, Jenna, that what troubles me the most about it is that, as I think you just said, it's so blatant. It's so ugly. In other words, it's somebody reveals their true colors, but they don't care. In other words, their cynicism is on display. They're basically saying to the world, we don't care. We want Biden to be elected, and we'll sacrifice absolutely everything in order to make that happen. We don't care about anything. We hate Trump that much. And I think the reason it bothers me is that I know that your average American isn't like Jenna Ellis or Eric Metaxas or whoever who is paying close attention to this because we're paid to do it. It's what we do. They're living their lives and they have grown up trusting the basics, that the media will basically get it right, that Twitter and Facebook and these things, they're just, you know, pass-throughs, right? It's like a phone call. I know that if I say something totally false on a phone call, the phone company's not going to shut me down. So this is cynical, you know?
Yeah, they're living in the old era of journalism where they're trusting media without that element of skepticism and without seeing how prevalently just wrong this is. I mean, we should all be wanting truth and transparency, not just from our government and not just for candidates for office, but we should want truth and the journalists to care about truth and facts and to actually hold them accountable. And so while we can all be shocked shocked and outraged by this. I think that really, Eric, the salient question here is, why would anyone want to vote for a candidate that is supported by these platforms that will cut off our liberties and free speech?
Because they're not paying attention. I mean, this is the cynicism. In other words, that these cultural mandarins have decided that we're going to take advantage of the ignorance of the American voter. The American voter is working, raising kids. They don't have time to be up on every little thing. I mean, it's why I talk about these things on this program, because most Americans, as we've said, they've just assumed the basics. And the fact that suddenly the mainstream media, I mean, listen, I just want to say this and we're going to go to a break, but the idea that George Stephanopoulos, who's a journalist for ABC, did not confront the vice president on something that is an outrageous scandal, if it's even slightly true. That is the job of George Stephanopoulos. In 2 hours, he didn't mention it. And I just want to say to my fellow Americans, folks, you're living through something completely unprecedented. We'll continue to unpack this when we come back. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis, who's with the Falkirk Center. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm talking to Jenna Ellis in hour two, Kirk Cameron, and we're talking to an author of a new book on Biden. I think you'll want to catch that. But Jenna, I forgot to mention when I introduced you that you are a senior fellow with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. I, too, am a senior fellow with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University, and we were together in Miami. That's where I got the fake spray tan. They have the best... It's like they're so cheap because nobody wants them down there. So if you want to get fake spray tans at a good price, you go to Miami. But I got the fake spray tan there. And honestly, when I was there, we had Roger Stone put it in a surprise appearance. Ralph Reed was there. Obviously, Charlie Kirk was there. You were there. And I just thought, I'm talking to people who are just like right next to the heartbeat of what's going on in this election. But the reason I bring it up is that, to go back to what I was saying before, your average American, your average voter isn't like in close to what is happening. And I've noticed that oftentimes the media assumes that everybody is on Twitter 24 hours a day. And so this new word came up. I think Charlie Kirk used it, that Biden had put a lid on at 11 a.m. when he didn't want to answer a question, he put a lid. And I said, Charlie, like I host a radio show, TV show, whatever. What is the term lid? And he looked at me like, you haven't heard of the term lid? Like, suddenly for the last 2 days, people have been talking about this. And obviously what it refers to is that Biden put a lid on media for the day. I guess that's the official term. But it just underscored for me how, you know, your average American isn't up on this kind of stuff. They're just living their lives, and I'm pretty average, and I wasn't up on it either. And so it was kind of wild to be surrounded by political prognosticators who all assume that everyone knows what the new term lid is. It doesn't refer to hash or, you know, Mary Jane. It refers to Biden's media.
Right. And yeah, and you're correct about that. So putting a lid on it just means he's not going to break any news. He's not going to do any news conferences. There will be nothing else that his campaign will announce for the rest of the day. And this has actually been going on for the last several months, when Biden will announce and his campaign will announce it. Sometimes, you know, 9:30 Eastern time. I mean, think about that. That's 6:30 a.m. Pacific. He's just done for the day. And that's someone who is wanting to be a presidential candidate and saying, I'm done. I'm going back and I'm taking a nap. I'm doing nothing. But not only that, for his obvious, there's some cognitive issues there. And of course, you know, we can all be concerned that maybe he just needs to go and sleep the rest of the day. But really, I think it's more sinister than that. What he's doing is refusing to show the American people genuinely who he is, where his allegiances lie, and how adverse he is to our American system of government. Because if we saw one thing over the last week of the Amy Coney Barrett hearings, it's that Democrats, which Biden, of course, has spent 47 years in government, Democrats are elitists, They think that they know better. They think they are a higher class than we citizens who aren't, you know, in government 24/7. And they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to have a judicial branch that's actually impartial and independent. They've been using the judicial branch for the last 50 and 60 years to simply rubber stamp their agenda. And what the Democrats did over the last few days, over this past week of the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings, all they did was campaign and make arguments for why abortion should still be legal, why Obamacare should still be legal and constitutional. And they were tacitly admitting, Eric, that they are so concerned that someone who actually wants to be a judge and fairly apply the Constitution is going to call them out on their unconstitutionality. That's why they object so much to her. And that's why Joe Biden refuses to answer questions, because he doesn't want to be held accountable to the American people.
Well, you know, you bring up several really important things. First of all, let's be honest, he's trying to run out the clock. There are 18 days left. If he is forced to answer this China stuff, this stuff with his son, he will never be elected. The fact of the matter is, he knows that this is deeply damaging. It speaks to the very heart of what our republic is, how our leaders are supposed to conduct themselves. In other words, when you think of the power that a senator has, a vice president, a president, tremendous power, and they're supposed to forego all kinds of things. And so if your son, who is obviously hugely troubled, it's heartbreaking, really, and sick, if he is walking into these countries with dad, who's the vice president, and walking out with gigantic contracts, that is one of the biggest scandals possible. Can you imagine how America could suffer if China has a scintilla of leverage against any of our leaders? It's just absolutely staggering. And I think to myself, you know, you're right. He's hiding because he probably has a couple of good hours a day. He had in his official calendar yesterday, tea with George Stephanopoulos in the evening. And he had to rest up for that. And so he was in a hyperbaric chamber. I know that he drinks some kind of blood of young people in order to stay youthful. He gets two good hours in and he goes to bed.
Yeah. And he still had to take breaks almost every other question. I mean, it was like, is he just going to memorize the responses and you know, figure out and read the teleprompter before he goes back in? I mean, that was shocking. He couldn't even sit through a 90-minute interview without that many breaks. And but you also raise another important point, Eric, to say that, you know, if this were anyone else, I mean, if we go back to the foundation of our system of government, power exists in the government, as our founders recognized, not to serve government itself. Government should not be a self-focused institution, but rather only have limited power to preserve and protect our individual rights. And that's why we are supposed to elect citizens who will execute their offices with the understanding that it's not about them, it's about the people.
And amen. Forgive me. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. More Jenna Ellis. Don't go away.
Colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center. Jenna, we were just talking about like the basics of power and how our government is supposed to work. And I was saying that I think that the scandal with his son is so huge, they have to know that if they can use their friends in the media, like George Stephanopoulos, to run out the clock and to say, this is just Trump, he's desperate, he's throwing the kitchen sink at me. Yes, except if any of this is true, this is monumental, monumental scandal. So I guess, you know, we have to understand that it's his only hope is to run out the clock.
Yeah, and that's why he's refusing to answer questions. He doesn't want to actually tell the American people his policy positions, because he is so antithetical and so completely against what our system of government was designed for. And so I wrote an article in Newsweek that I'd really encourage all of your listeners to go and read for Constitution Day back September 17th. We always will celebrate the annual ratification of our U.S. Constitution. And it's called Save Our American System. And this is because the design of the Constitution is so important to making sure that no one person, one office, or one branch of government gets so much power that they are unaccountable to the other branches, that because we don't have elections for all of these offices every year or right after each of these decisions. So you have to have the separation of power so that the co-equal branches can have accountability, particularly the judicial branch. And Joe Biden doesn't want to answer those questions because the Democrats hate that accountability factor. They want all the power and they want to destroy our American system of government, because it's not just that they hate our system, it's that they hate that we as individuals have more rights in America than they have power. They want to dictate to us when we can exercise freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, free exercise of religion. They want to only allow us the opportunities that they prefer. So if you look at what's happened over the course of this year with the BLM riots, those were okay to Democrats. And so you're allowed to do that. Doesn't matter that we're in the midst of a pandemic. We're encouraging that. No social distancing, no masks. We're not going to enforce that. But hey, if you want to go to church, if you want to go to a place that actually speaks the truth about God, we are going to shut you down and we are going to try to go to court to get a restraining order against your pastor or even arrest your pastor so that we can shut you down. This is so like the Chinese Communist Party. It is exactly everything that our founders designed our system to protect against. And so Joe Biden won't answer these questions because he knows that if the American people who don't live and breathe this stuff like you and I do, if they actually see Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for who they truly are, no person in this country who actually loves themselves and their family and their own liberty and independence would ever, ever vote for them.
Well, see, this is the thing. I realize I know so many people on the left who think that, you know, we're just being shills for the president or something. But I just want to encourage people. It's why I wrote my book, If You Can Keep It. I want to encourage people to think this through, because if you understand how liberty works, it leads you along a certain path. It leads you to see things like Biden's 47 years in the Senate and then in the vice presidency. It's a staggering amount of power for one person. And what happens, as we know, is that, you know, Lord Acton, I guess, said, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's the normal thing, which is why the founders set things up with checks and balances, which brings me to the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. I want to talk about the judicial branch. And I want to ask you, by the way, please tweet that Newsweek article you wrote September 17th. Put it out there again so people can see it. And I will retweet it, of course. But we've just got a few minutes left, after which I'm going to have to take an 8-hour nap, because this evening I'm having tea with George Stephanopoulos, and I want my energy to be up for that. A lot of people
are calling a lid right after this.
But yeah, I'm calling a lid right now. But I just want to say, in the minutes we have left, Amy Coney Barrett, you are a constitutional scholar, legal scholar. What did you see over the last few days, and what do you think is going to happen next week with the vote?
I think she'll get confirmed, and I think that we do have the votes for that. But what's so important, and you mentioned this, Eric, is that this is about saving our country so that all of us can have freedom and liberty, not because this is so partisan. And if you actually watched the hearings like I did, and you look at the character and the philosophy of Amy Coney Barrett, what's so important about it is that she does not want to be partisan or be a policymaker. She understands that the purpose of the judicial branch is to be impartial and unbiased. And so to hold the other two branches of government accountable and to actually look at the litigants who are before her, both sides, and to fairly apply the U.S. Constitution as the highest law of the land, not just the opinions from the Supreme Court. Those aren't actually our law. Those are just precedent, but they can be overturned when they are in conflict with the U.S. Constitution. And that's what Americans need to understand, is that because the president, whoever that is, has the power under the Constitution to nominate all federal judges, including the Supreme Court, we want a president who is willing to put people on the bench who are willing to hold his branch and the legislative branch accountable. And that's why, as a constitutional law attorney, I am so in favor of President Trump, because he understands, as a citizen president, he understands that it's so important to limit the power of government and make sure that we, the people, regardless of who you are, what you believe, what you want to do with your life, how you raise your family, we need to have and maximize the opportunity for liberty and prosperity in this country. And the only way we do that is having judges like Amy Coney Barrett that will recognize that our rights come from God, our creator, not our government. And it's not up to the government to restrict us, but also it is the government's job to enact meaningful justice. We often talk about liberty, but we also have to have justice. That's why we have in this country, and that beautiful phrase in the Declaration and also the Constitution, with liberty and justice for all.
I have to tell you, you know, this is basic civics, and we all ought to have been taught this in grade school, in junior high, in high school, like math. Like, you couldn't graduate without knowing basic math, basic spelling. This is ultra basic. It doesn't get more basic. And if Americans don't get this stuff, you will elect people like Joe Biden and have no idea why that might be bad for everybody. We're out of time. Jenna Ellis, I love having you. Thanks for making time in your extremely busy schedule. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week, I hope.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric. Good to see you.
Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit.
Hey there, folks. Coming up in hour two, our friend Kirk Cameron with a special announcement about what's happening this weekend. But I have to say this. Last night, we've got Albin in a couple of seconds is going to make a very special announcement.
Yes.
It's very provocative. He's going to try to provoke you with his facial hair. You'll see. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Albin, hold your fire, because I just want to mention that we're trying to raise money for the Alliance Defending Freedom, right? Okay. Well, the thing that happened during the confirmation hearings with Amy Coney Barrett was that as she's talking about religious liberty, she's being challenged about her own faith. It became kind of bizarre. So Senator Josh Hawley, who I am learning is a real hero in the Senate, he had this to say.
This freedom of conscience and religious liberty undergirds all of our other rights because it tells the government that it cannot tell us what to think or who we can assemble with or how we can worship or what we can say. But this bedrock principle of American liberty is now under attack.
Okay, folks, I don't want to be a fear monger, right? But if somebody is coming at you at 80 miles an hour and I scream, get out of the way, you can say, Eric, stop your fear mongering. It's not about fear. It's about love. Yes. And you'll get hit by the car going 80 miles an hour and you'll die. So there are times when you scream, get out of the way, or do this or do that. It's not fear mongering. It's truth. That's what we're talking about right now. So the Alliance Defending Freedom is defending our liberties, not just religious liberty, all our liberties. And I'm just telling you, folks, if you do not help them now, if we don't fight this battle every day through folks like the Alliance Defending Freedom, we're not going to have the ability to fight it tomorrow. They're picking us off one at a time. We just need your help. Please go to metaxastalk.com. When you go there, you'll see the banner Alliance Defending Freedom. Albin and Chris and I have cooked up all these things that we want to do to thank you. I mentioned $10,000. If anybody can give that to this great organization, we want to have dinner with you. You can have dinner with all three of us, just me, whatever you want. But Albin, for people who are willing this weekend only to give $1,000, Albin, what do you have for our friends?
Okay, hold on a second. I'm sorry. The president just called me on my landline now.
Right, right.
Oh, okay, yes. Oh, for this, sorry, guys. For this weekend only, if you give $1,000, you'll not only get a signed copy of Hamster Homes, my series of children's books, but I will shave off this beard live on camera next week, and I'll do it in your honor. So for $1,000, put in the little comment section, hey, Albin's beard. Just put Albin's beard. I will shave it off and say, hey, Bill Johnson said shave off the beard. I'm doing it. He gave $1,000.
There has to be somebody out there who wants their name mentioned on the air in conjunction with the shaving of your beard and who loves religious liberty. There has to be that person is out there. We will mention your name. Folks, we will send you a lot of signed books. We'll send you my new Bonhoeffer book signed. I mean, everything you get at the $1,000 level. But most important of all, it will be you who are mentioned. And if there are two of you, you'll both be mentioned while Albin shaves his beard.
I'm ready,
what
folks.
More
I'm ready.
Could any person ask in the world? So you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. You have to put in whatever it is you want to give. And I want to say again, anybody who gives anything, you will get entered in the drawing. You'll win tons of stuff. Here's the number, 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333. Let me say that one more time, 855-547-5333. We need your help. You can go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, give anything you can. $1,000 gets you one beard cut off on the air with your name. Thank you. I don't care.